Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love, Light, and Passion, where award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and her guests talk about turning your ideas and dreams into reality. Wendy believes that every woman can have it all, and she takes away all of the stress that comes with the social media aspect of business by providing a number of resources, including Facebook ad creation and implementation, management, coaching and training, strategy, and so much more. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy how to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Contact Wendy to do the 7 Days to Social Media Sanity Facebook Challenge and have her help you to make your goals and actions match your business plan. Don't end this year not socially ready for next year. And now, your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hello, everyone. I am having a fabulous day here in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm so glad to be back on the air with you. I've taken a little break for spring break to be with my son. And so it's really great to be back on air. And I have the perfect guest on today to talk about how to do that balance of and be peaceful during trying to be all things at once, mom, entrepreneur, and having some balance. I'm super excited that Catherine Middlebrooks is on the show with us. And I'm going to give you a little background of how I found Catherine. You know, as everybody knows, that this show is dedicated to Sean, my coach that I had. Catherine is actually in a group with my new coach, Rachel Cook, and I had put it out there to have people be guests on the show, and she took up the invitation, and I'm so excited because I'm excited about what she does because I'm one of those busy moms. And in her bio, she writes, if you feel like most of your day revolves around your role as a mom, you aren't alone. It's one of the most fantastic jobs, but also one of the most consuming. With all the demands on your time, it's easy to feel like you've lost sight of who you were before kids. And I'm so excited to have her on the show because I talk to moms all the time about this. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring on Catherine. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Wendy. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm really excited that you're on the show. I think this is a fantastic show because I have a lot of moms who happen to be entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs, and they're even juggling entrepreneurship with still working a 9-to-5 job and keeping their sanity.
Yes, hard to do.
So, or somebody like me who has my full-time job, a nonprofit I run with my husband, and I'm going to school with my master's, plus my son, I do see in there.
Right. You just don't sleep, right? That's what you decide to give up.
I'm a 6-hour girl.
Right. Well, I'm so happy to be here to talk about all of this too. I meet so many moms with the same aspirations and the same challenges. We are truly trying to do it all, and it's really hard to do it all.
Well, and let's back up for a minute because, you know, I always find that there's some sort of story that why people get into what they do. When they turn it in from something that they think about to an actual career. So how did you start here? Did you always want to be, you know, work with mothers? How did the evolution of you getting here start?
Sure. So no, the answer to that is no. I did not always want to work with mothers. Basically, the backstory is that in 2013, my husband and I were living kind of the pretty traditional, normal American life, right? We both had our jobs, we had just bought a house, and we had just had our first child. So we were, you know, we were happy, we were going along, we were doing all the stuff. And probably had we not had our child, I don't think we would have changed anything. We probably just would have continued on that same path. But when I had my daughter, it kind of sparked this feeling of discontent for me. I loved my job, but I did not love being away from her all week long, and I wanted to have more freedom in my schedule to spend more time with her. I wanted to be able to, we live in Nashville and our families live really far away. I wanted to be able to travel so that she could have relationships with her grandparents and her cousins. And I just saw that we were on this path that wasn't going to allow that. So, when you start to get those feelings of discontent, usually you just kind of push them away for a while and you listen to them every once in a while, when you're trying to go to sleep at night. But over time, that feeling grew stronger and stronger. And so around the end of that year, I asked my husband, Paul, if he would sit down with me and have a really intentional conversation about the direction of our life and where we saw ourselves going. And he obliged me because he's a great guy. he wanted to do it too. So we sat down for what we called our life summit, and we really just spent some time talking about what we wanted our life to look like in the future. And luckily, our visions kind of aligned, and we saw that our future had a lot more freedom in it, a lot more autonomy than the life that we were living then. And so from there, we really committed to just working our butts off to make it happen. And we have done that since then. And, we started with a couple of, we have a lot of business ideas, and we kind of tried some various things. But at the time, I was working full time, and we were, thinking about what we wanted to create as our business. And I have been a yoga instructor for 10 years. And so for me, the yoga practice was something that's always been kind of this undercurrent of my life. I always say that without yoga, I don't even know who I would be now because it's such a part of who I am. And I was struggling to find time for it with all the other things going on. And so I started doing short practices kind of wherever I could find them, like on my lunch break at work or when I put the kid down for a nap. And I found that committing to that short practice was really powerful to me. Like, I had to give up this idea that I had to do a 60-minute practice or a 90-minute practice. I had to get okay with the idea that a short practice was going to be enough. And when I did that and I started talking to other moms about, how crazy it is to be a mom, I started to think, I really think that this practice, these short practices, could help other moms. And so talking to my husband about it, we were saying, we could really do this. We could, I have the training. I'm doing it myself, and it's made such an impact for me. I know that it can help others. And so from there, it was, let's make this our first business and make this a reality. And so that's really how BRB Yoga came to life. We decided to make a website where it was all about getting yoga and self-care into busy mom's life in a short, efficient way. So that's really the story.
That's incredible. And I think that I just want to give a shout out to all of those husbands who are supportive when all of a sudden you are on a career path. I had one of those husbands too, where I was working full time. I was ahead of my career, and I came home and went, "Yeah, this isn't working for me."
No.
Can we try to do this differently? And 6 years later, it's still the best decision we've made. Not without some struggles with it, because I kind of did it. I'm a very fast, let's do this, and then 2 weeks later, it's happening. So,
right. Yes.
But I think that kudos to all of the husbands who are very supportive in this, because it can make all the difference in your lifestyle. and you don't even know it until you start doing it. Really know the difference in the lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. And truly, my husband is my partner in it. He still works his full-time job. When our second child was born, I ended up staying at home with them to build the business. But he still works full-time, but he works probably just as many hours on the business as I do now. And I can't imagine, it, you know, I say all the time to him that it just wouldn't be what it is without him. So, yeah, to do it by myself would be terrifying.
Well, I just want to put that out there, and so that everybody knows that there is always a supportive somebody in your life when this happens. So here is my next question, because you brought up something, and we have some talking points that I'll certainly get to, but I want to talk to you for a second, because I know for me, whenever I'm trying to do any ritual, whether it's breathing, I'm certainly not a yogi, but I'm really into the breathing exercises, and I know for myself and other busy moms, is that it, to me, I get caught up in that it's not quiet enough around me, that it's not.
Right.
So for somebody like me, who even wanted to be able to do that, because I'll go really good at doing it every day, and then I'm like, oh, there's no peace in this house, it's not happening. So how do you prevent getting stuck in that?
Right. So you mentioned the breathing, and it's interesting because I found that is a stumbling block for a lot of women, that they feel, you know, maybe their kids are young and they don't have them on overlapping nap schedules, and so they literally don't have a moment to themselves, and so they struggle to even get 20 or 30 minutes of yoga in, and I think that's a real valid concern, and so. I really do recommend for some of those women, you know, it might not be time for yoga for you yet, and it really may just be time for breathing. And I think that breathing is the one self-care exercise that I think every busy mom, and really everyone, should be doing, because you literally can do it anywhere, even if your children are screaming in your ears, even if there's sirens going off around you, if you're in the middle of a grocery store. It's the one self-care practice that it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It will still have the physiological benefit for you. So that is really my advice to anyone that says, like, I don't even have time for 20 minutes, or I don't have the quiet for 20 minutes of yoga. Then I say do 5 minutes of breathing. It's great if you can do it in the morning before anyone wakes up, but if you can't, you can literally sit in your car and do 5 minutes of deep breathing while your children are screaming, and you'll still feel better than you would have if you had it, because it really, it activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which immediately calms you down.
And, you know, it's so funny because I went on your wall and you had that great poster or that great meme about, you know, that it's in the middle of the night and you're finally getting your 20 minutes as a mom. And I'm like, wow, that's literally me. That's really
me. You know.
I'm like, it's 1 in the morning. Why are you up? I'm like, because it's quiet. It's finally.
I know. I know. And that's the other reason why the breath is so key. And I really do recommend that everyone just start with a breath exercise, because it is the way, like, you know, in Sanskrit, the term for breath is prana, and it is like energy. That is another translation for it. You are literally pulling energy into your body as you're breathing deeply, and that's what we need. We need our body to, at the same time, be energized because we're so exhausted, but we also need our nervous system to calm down because we're always on, like, hyper alert and stressed out. So we need these two forces acting together, and the breath is what will do that for us.
That's great. And I make a funny about that, but there is times my husband will wake up and go, really? I'm like, yep, just leave me be. It's quiet.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I know. If you get on a roll and you need to get something done, to me, it's like if I don't finish it that night, who knows when I'll have a chance to revisit it tomorrow. Like, I just want to get it done.
Exactly. But we do want to come to some talking points, and because I think some of the information that you have for mommies are really important, and one of them is, what are the 4 daily self-care rituals that everyone should be doing?
Yes, just a little bit, but these 4 pillars of self-care, this is a framework that I'm using for a program that I'm going to be launching in June, and it's a 4-week program that is all designed to help busy moms start and maintain a self-care program. And it's designed to be totally doable. So I found that, as I already said, that a lot of women, even though they love the idea of short yoga practices, they still say, it's hard for me to commit to yoga right now. It's hard for me to commit to 20 minutes. So this program is really a starting point for those moms who know that they need to take care of themselves but don't know how to begin. And the name of it is Start With Breath, because that's the first pillar. So the first pillar of self-care that I think every mom should be doing, and really every person, and especially entrepreneurs, they should all be doing these too. The first is breath practice, for all those reasons I already said. It's the quickest way to calm you down, but also bring energy into your body. And this is the one thing that everyone should be doing if they're only doing one thing. And really, it only takes like 5 minutes a day, which even if you're crazy busy, you can find 5 minutes. The second piece of self-care that I think is especially important for moms is a short meditation practice most days of the week. And, you know, if you know the research on meditation, you know that it has a host of benefits, and it decreases anxiety, it improves positive feelings, it makes you more empathetic, which helps increase your patience, which what mom couldn't use that. But I think the most important benefit of meditation for moms in particular is that it helps shine a light on your inner critic. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, and I have a follow-up question, and just so that, and for me too, but what do you see the difference in between breathing? Because I've done breathing kind of like meditative things and actual meditation.
Yeah.
Like I've breathe out that, and that's become meditative.
Yes. So I think that they're very similar, but there are some subtle differences. And so the breath practice, the focus truly is on lengthening the breath and deepening the breath. Because that's what will help calm your nervous system down. The meditation practice, it's perfectly fine if you use your breath as a focus point in your meditation. A lot of meditation styles will teach that you want, when you're meditating, you want to kind of just bring your attention to your nostrils and just feel the breath coming in and feel the breath coming out. But the meditation practice will differ from the breath practice in that it is not as, you're not forcing the breath to do anything, right? So rather than working consciously to make a longer breath, you're just going to breathe normally, and then you can notice the breath. So that's one way to meditate. So there's a difference in terms of the activity of your breath between the two. Because you want the meditation practice to be a place where you can just be, you step out of the role of actor and you step into the role of observer. So rather than causing your body to breathe deeper, you just want to watch your body breathe in the meditation. Does that help?
It does. I love that. I think that's incredible.
And that it really... And because you do that, because you step into the role of observer, that's where you really do start to see your own inner critic, right? So once you step into the role of observer, you know, it's hard to do at the beginning, but the more you do it, the more you start to hear what you are telling yourself in your head. And when I started meditating, I was floored at how mean I was and how nasty I was to myself, right? Like, you hear the judgments come out in your head, things that you would never say to another mom who's trying her best and working so hard. Like things like, you're not fun enough with your kids. You're not working hard enough at this job. Like just all of these judgments that we have on ourselves. When we're not in the habit of meditating, we're having those thoughts all the time, and they're impacting the way we feel and the way we think about ourselves, but we're not aware of it. When you start to meditate, you get to step back, you get to now observe those thoughts, and you get to choose something else, right? So you get to say, okay, I see that these thoughts are coming through me, but I don't need to believe them. I don't need to really fully engage with them. And so that's a really powerful step for busy moms because we're so hard on ourselves. And by giving yourself that gift of shining a light on your inner critic, you then can say, okay, I get it. Like, I'm not perfect. And there are lots of things that I can beat myself up for, or I can choose to have compassion for myself and choose to be kind to myself instead. And we all need that. We all need that, like, warm hug that we can give to ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's key. I think that most people are harder than themselves. I think you're right. I don't think that most people would say to anybody else the things we tell ourselves sometimes.
Never. Never.
It takes practice to not do that. I don't know if that's an innate treat yourself better thing or something. I mean, because even I know from working with with Sean, who was my coach, it took me months to get there. She's like, nope, you're still thinking with your head. Let's try something. I mean, I'm really hard on myself. And she's like, see, until you feel like you're completely worthy everywhere, you're going to continue to hit this roadblock. And it took a daily practice for months to get there for me to go, oh, now I get it. Now not only do I get it, now I can start to not do that anymore. But she's adding everything from the language we use and how, you know, just anything with negative energy and making sure that it sounded, turning that to be positive. And
yes.
Kind of shutting down that critic.
Yes, absolutely. And you can't shut it down, or even I like to use the term more like make friends with it than shut it down, right? Because I always think of if you're shutting something down, it's going to like rise up even stronger. And so I like to think about it as like, okay, we're going to make friends with this critic. We're going to see it there. We're going to say like, hey, I see that you're there and I know that you've got this way of thinking. And it's like that friend that you have that you love, but they're still kind of negative a lot of the time. And you can like see the positivity in them without buying into all of the negative energy that they have.
Yeah.
You have that friend. I mean,
and you can feel it though. You can feel people. I'm very into, and I'm more aware when I go into places, the energy of the room, the energy that of the person I'm with. Which is an amazing place to get to, because if you're unaware, then you just kind of walk around in this cloud and everything's okay. But if you are aware, you naturally gravitate toward people who either you see it or they have it, you know?
Right.
And one of the things that I do for, you know, what I've learned to do about that whole self-critic thing is, and it took me a while to do that, is I thank it for sharing now. And then I let it know that I have this and it'll be okay.
Uh-huh.
It took me a long time to be able to, thank you, I'm not listening to you. I just think I'm going to try it this way anyway.
Right. Right, because so often, right, that inner critic is rooted in fear, fear that you're not doing well enough or fear that you're not enough. And so you don't, that's why I think it's like make friends with it, because you want to acknowledge that fear that's within you. And especially for moms, like acknowledging the fear that like, what, you know, it's a big fear that you're messing up your kids or you're not a good enough parent. Like that's a legitimate fear, and you don't want to just shut it out from your head, but you want to acknowledge it and say like, I see you, but you know what? I'm doing this and this and this, which means that I am enough and I am a good enough parent. It's like flipping the script a little bit.
I love that. That's very cool and necessary. And I think that it's important to have people in your life, a coach, somebody, and in all areas of your life, that is the person who reminds you of that while you're going through
mm-hmm.
it too.
Yeah.
I think it's because a lot of times I think we have a tendency as mothers to either go on one side, especially as moms, we go on one side where it's all horrible.
Right.
The kids are not doing exactly what you want them to do. And you're like, oh, really? I failed here somehow. And you need
right.
that counterpart to go like, no, you know, you also need that because it's just a moment and it'll pass.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, it is.
Say, okay, let's look at what's really going on here. And because perception is everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we really got off on that, but what is the third self-care ritual?
Yes, the third self-care ritual. So this one I call nourishing activities, and this is the one where it's going to be different for every person. And in my program, I recommend that this is something that you do at night before you go to bed, and it can take 5 minutes. But what it is it's anything that moves you toward one of your core desired feelings, or it moves you in a direction toward something that you want to feel deeply in your life. You know, so we did in our coaching program, we did that core desired feelings exercise, and it's related to that sort of thing. So do you even remember what your core desired feelings were for that, Wendy?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
I'm putting you on the spot.
No, you're totally putting me on the spot, and I have the workbook.
But I can use an example. So,
But I have to look now because it was like 6 weeks
ago. I know, it was a long time ago. But let me give an example. So if, for example, one of your core desired feelings was feeling connection, feeling connected to your friends, your community, something like that, then for you, a nourishing activity for you would be, you know, maybe 5 minutes at the end of your day where you take those moments and you use them to reach out to people you love. Maybe you write a handwritten letter, or you write an email, or you pick up the phone and you call someone and you say, hey, I don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to say hi and connect with you. Another example is if for you, you're one of your core desired feelings is that you wanted to feel really pampered and taken care of, then for you, a good nourishing activity at the end of the day would be, you know, maybe you put some really nice essential oils in a diffuser and let them, you know, just sit and breathe them in for a few minutes and really take in the experience of that. Or you take a quick bath with an awesome bath bomb that you got at some fancy store, you know. Anything, it's really anything that can make you feel more whole and more complete and like you are fulfilling more parts of your identity than just your role as mom and spouse and worker, right? It's like this activity that helps to round out your feelings of who you are in the world.
Yes, now I remember all that. I'm like, wait a second. Now it sounds familiar. I'm like, what part did I do that in? And you know what? Oh, thank you, because I was like, I know I'm not going crazy. I did do this. I swear I did. So, because mine was, because the name of my company is Social Abundance Marketing, mine was abundant, blessed,
yes,
honest, spiritual, and free.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my thoughts. And it's so funny because creativity is not on there. And it, as I worked through longer, it became one of the things.
Uh-huh.
So the other thing is to kind of know that once you kind of come up with those core desired feelings, that it's okay for them to slightly change. But those were the original ones.
Yeah, so absolutely. So in the program, the Start With Breath program, like I'm going to have, you know, all the participants will work through that work through the exercise where they do develop their core desired feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, they will change. You know, as you change, as your kids get older, you need different things. And so it is an activity you want to revisit often. But even if you don't have that activity in front of you, you can still find a way to make this a part of your life. If you just sit down and take a minute and think about, what do I need to feel in my life? Like, what is it about me 5 years ago that I feel like I'm missing, that I don't have anymore right now? And then just take a moment and jot down, you know, two or three activities that can, in a really short time, move you in that direction and make you feel that way. And then you just, you know, before bed, a few minutes, you just spend some time nourishing that part of who you are. And over time, it makes you feel more whole, and it just reminds you that you are more than just, you know, it just, as moms, we spend so much time in that role and living in that domain. And so these activities are ways to make you feel and remember all the other parts of who you are and nourish them, cultivate them.
And what's really funny, so that's the reason why I said creative and then I got there kind of, which is, I started doing that. I'm gonna admit it. I'm a self-addicted adult colorer now. Fired up and focused. I got one coloring book just to do after like a 25-minute stretch. So I could have some downtime in between, you know, from working. And now it's kind of an interesting thing because I love doing it now. It calms me and I can do things like breathing, and that's usually what I'm doing at 1 a.m. But anyway, what I started to do was for the other busy moms in my life, I've been looking intensely for things that would represent them. And then I color them in frames, and then it's a gift. So it's been
sweet. I love that.
Other side of me that I'm really enjoying in a way that takes me away from everything else I do, and I still get to be centered during it, and I still get to be quiet during it, and I still get to, you know, be, you know, to give. And so it's really kind of been a very good practice for me.
Absolutely. And especially for mompreneurs, you know, I don't know, maybe you don't struggle with this the way that I do, but it is like any moment that I have when my children are asleep or that's like free time, I feel like I've got to be working on the business. I need to build this business. And so to give myself even 5 minutes at the end of the day where I'm like, I'm going to do something else. I am going to be something else for a few minutes. That's such a huge gift to give to myself, I feel like. And it really, really makes me feel better at the end of the day.
And I agree because and you know, especially because I do the school too, because I'm always like, all right, this much school work, this much. And so for me, it's been a way to, because I didn't realize how much I was doing it. Like I was thoroughly connected to my phone or a computer screen at all times, to the point where I felt like I stopped having real relationships with others because I was always on one of those. And this has been a very practiced, intentional, I'm not going to be on a computer. I'm not going to check my phone. I mean, everything to, I don't get notifications anymore. I mean, I get certain ones and I choose to look, but it has been very good for me mentally, spiritually, emotionally to shut down and go, it's all going to be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right on. And I think, you know, that old saying, we're the only people who like leave a 40-hour work job to work 80 hours.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's so true. So
that's so true.
This gives me a way to do that in a way that's not, you know, where I can sit, or I can even sit, my son will be reading and I could be coloring. We could still do something together and I'm not connected to something that I'm not mindful of what's going on.
Yes.
So, okay, so last pillar.
Pillar is a gratitude practice. And this is another one where it takes like a minute at the end of your day. And imagine you're familiar with a gratitude practice, but just taking a moment to write down at least one thing that you are grateful for in that day. And there are a ton of documented benefits of a gratitude practice, including improved immunity, more positive emotions, and more compassion. But the one that I think is most important for moms is that it helps. It actually decreases your feelings of loneliness and isolation. And I know not all moms feel lonely and isolated, and I don't want to say that, but there is something, at least from my experience of being a mom, where it really feels as if in some ways your world narrows for a time. And my kids are still very young, and I imagine that will change as they get older. But I wrote a post, like an Instagram something, and in it I said something recently where it was like, it's an odd thing to be constantly surrounded by others but feel mostly alone. and a lot of people resonated with it, and I think that it's a really common feeling, and I think it's a feeling too, just in not just for moms but for our social media driven world. It's really easy to feel like you're constantly interacting with people or watching other people, but you still feel mostly alone. And so having a daily practice that really quickly can make you feel a part of a larger whole and kind of expand your worldview, which is what a gratitude practice can do, that's a really powerful way to help take you out of your little world and your feelings of loneliness and make you feel more connected and complete.
I love that, and I, one of the things I've been taught a long time ago, just to go along with that, it's hard to get more if you're not grateful for what you have. And
yeah,
so
absolutely,
we get so life busy that we forget to do that sometimes.
Yes, I love that.
And so I think that's key to, and I think it also gives you a daily different perspective on how something that could be what could seem devastating, where you can start to see where, you know, where it's a good thing. Like where, one of my favorite go-to things is I just started my business and I was so excited. I thought I got this great big contract. I was through the moon, the speaking contract. So we were going to go sign it and everything, and the day before we were ready to sign, it was they changed their mind. Oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. I mean, like, I've taken this risk and I'm doing this, and I'll never forget. I got on the phone with her and she said, okay, we're going to look at all the things to be grateful for. You've now have experience on getting to that point. And, right. You know, she went through this whole entire thing, and then she said, and now you can be grateful for that it gave you the ability to open up for something even bigger that you didn't get. And I was like, what? What? No. No. And She was like, no, really look at it that way. There's something bigger, and if you would have taken it, you would have missed it. So you need to let that go so that you don't miss your next big opportunity.
Right.
I was like, no, she's killing me here. She just cannot be true. And sure enough,
I know.
30 days, I had an even larger contract for something different, but I had a contract. And she's like, you were not ready to handle both. So you needed just to take the bigger of the two. And I was like,
That's great. I would be like, yes, I see that. And I'm going to sit and kind of revel in my misery for about 20 minutes. And then I'll look at that positive side of it.
Exactly. But it has given me the ability since then to not get upset when a door closes. It's really changed my perspective on that. And it all started with her going, no, we're going to look at how to be grateful about this. And I was like, but I need to feed my family, And she's like, yes, I hear you.
Right.
We're still going to be grateful about this. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great, great perspective.
So what are the things because we have about a little 16 minutes left, 17 minutes left. One of the things that I want to kind of skip to is strategies to manage entrepreneurship and motherhood, because I think a lot of people struggle with that balance. I have the most wonderful friend. She's my bookkeeper. She's like my biz BFF locally, and I love her to death. And I'm just like, she's got two kids because Louisville has a very strange school system and nobody goes to a school in their backyard. You can literally have to drive and a kid could be on a bus 2 hours here. It's a very strange system. So she works part-time. She has her own business and she picks up two kids in two different schools, which I did for her for a week, one day each week in December. And it was like 2.5 hours in the car just in the afternoon. And so...
Yeah.
How do you do that and not lose your mind is really what the question is. I mean, for those who struggle with being able to and feeling good enough, because, you know, then you get into, I'm not spending enough time with my business. I'm not spending enough time with my kids and all of that stuff.
Right. So first I'm going to say that I can say how to do this without driving yourself crazy most days, but there are going to be those days where it's all going to fall apart and you just have to roll with that, right? Because that's the nature of mothering. It's so unpredictable. You know, when your kid gets sick or, school has a snow day, those things just fly out the window. But, there are a couple of things that I have found that have really helped me. And I will say my kids are 3 and 1. So they're very young. And right now they're both still at home with me. My 3-year-old is going to be starting a part-time preschool in June, but right now they're with me all week long except for the 6 hours that I have childcare. So, but I'm no longer working a full-time job. So those challenges are different because I was doing that too for a while, and that's really hard. It's all really hard. So I would say that number one for is to do those self-care exercises as much as you can, right? So you have to take care of yourself first. It's that whole cliche, like put your oxygen mask on first, you know, before you put your child on. I think that especially when you're trying to juggle all of these goals, you need to make sure that you are on a regular basis filling up your energy tank, you are practicing gratitude, and you are giving yourself a little mental space from all the work, because if you don't, you will burn out, you will quit, you won't keep going. I think that's key. I am very fortunate in that I have a 100% supportive husband, as we talked about, and that we have a joint vision for our future, and that is hugely important for me. But I think that even if you and your spouse don't have a joint vision, if you do have a spouse that can help you, you can work with them to create a schedule that helps you fit in some extra time in the day. So what my husband and I do is trade off mornings, like pre 6:30 a.m., where one of us is in charge of the children if they wake up before 6:30, which basically they always do. And then the other one gets to shut themselves in the office and work. And so, like, I get Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday mornings. Those are my mornings. And it's up to me how early I get up. You know, I will get up at 4:50. So I'm in the office by 5, and I get an hour and a half of work done before I have to go see my children, which is a good amount of work. You know, I'd love more time, but it's a good, it gets me on the right foot and gets me continuously moving forward. My husband gets Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and we take Friday off, kind of. I mean, we like, that means we just all are up together on Friday morning. So that has been really helpful for me and my husband. And as a part of that, too, I think it's really important, if you are trying to balance all of this, to make use of your morning. I am not a morning person. Not at all. Like, I hate waking up early. If I were left to my own devices, I would sleep for at least 9.5 hours a night. And right now, I'm getting probably about 6, maybe, if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
But it's essential. If it doesn't happen in the morning, it often won't happen until night, and then I'm tired and less able to move quickly. So I think as much as you can, get up in the morning and get something done. And to be successful in the morning, you have to set yourself up for success at night. So before you go to bed, before you shut down everything at night, write down the 2 tasks that you want to tackle in the morning, so that when you sit down to your computer or sit down to your desk, you don't open up Facebook, you don't do anything like that, you just do those tasks. Those are really important.
And I can't agree with you more. I know I do social media, but I am a full advocate of there is a time for Facebook, and just because you need to post somewhere doesn't mean you get to spend 6 hours there later. And I tell everybody to put a timer on so that when you're doing business stuff on Facebook, you set a timer. And if you get everything done that you need to do for your social media and you have 2 minutes extra, then you have 2 minutes extra on your playtime. And then that timer goes off and you move on, because otherwise, I love social media. I am not advocating for it, but it will fry. If you have 20 minutes at night and that's what you want to do, great. But make sure that as you talk about things for your business, time schedule, time clock, put it on your phone, anything, so that you're not, because 8 hours later, you'll go, look, I have no clue what I read on all those Facebook posts.
I know. I know. And I another thing, too, that I think has been really, it's really essential, and it's hard for me to justify it, and that's childcare. Like, one of the reasons I wanted to start this business was because I wanted to have more time with my children. And so I really struggled when we first were like, okay, we need to hire a babysitter. And again, we have a babysitter for 6 hours. It's like a blip of our week. It's no time at all. Mm-hmm. But I struggled with it because I was like, I want to be home with them, and now I'm going to be, you know, paying someone else to take care of them. But even if you can only get a few hours a week, like literally, like 2 hours a week, it's so worth it to have the time that you know will not be interrupted. Because there's so little time in the life of a mom where you know, if it's nap time, then you never know. Someone could wake up at any time, even in the middle of the night. They often come down. So it is to have time where you can mentally say, I know that this is my time. And then to set the timer and do that. Like, I do the Pomodoro technique, too, on those days, which I was doing before we did the CBD, but then doing conscious business design really made me kind of recommit to it, where you do 25 minutes of work and take a 5-minute break. That is It's amazing how much you can get done
when
you do that. And so I have if I have a 3-hour chunk and I can get through 6 Pomodoros, I have done a pretty solid amount of work. I always love more time, but at least then I know that I did it. I got it done.
Well, and it's funny because the good thing about, so when I had my child, when my son was little, we lived near my mom. And so she would be able to do that. Then we moved to Louisville and I had nobody. It just, you know, I went from having a constant and I was like, oh, I have my son full time all the time now. Like it was a big change. And I started a company here. So what I found was the good thing about school age is that moms are willing to switch off with you. So it is wonderful. And I utilize that all the time now because, you know, there's other busy moms and, you know, whether it's helping with carpool or whatever, you know, that you're going to kind of switch everything from sleepovers to, I really need this chunk of time. So I think that it's really, really important to know also who's in your community that can help you, especially if you're like me, that has no family around whatsoever.
Yes, and that's us too. We have no family. I always say somebody needs to start a rent-a-grandma program because I would love to rent a grandma every, like, Saturday, not even every Saturday, every other Saturday, for, like, an hour and a half. I don't even need that much time, but I want to rent a grandma.
Awesome. It is awesome. So we're about 8 minutes, and I wanted to ask you two other questions. One I just pop on at the end of a show. It's always a kind of go-to question. The first is, we're going to hear your commercial in a little bit, but how can we get in touch with you? And I'm really, I cannot tell you that the program you have coming up in June sounds fantastic, and people should connect with you now to make sure that you're on the list, because those 4 things can make a world of difference in your life. So how do we get in touch with you and make sure that we are ready to do that program with you in June?
Thank you. Yes. So you can come to brbyoga.com. So it's BRB Yoga, which is like be right back, you know, TikTok, because it's quick. So brbyoga.com. And on the homepage there, you can either sign up for a free trial of the BRB Yoga online studio. Or if you're not ready to do that, you can just on the homepage at the bottom, there is a link to a free 5-minute breath exercise. And so if you want to check out that first step of the 4 essential pillars of self-care, go there, download the 5-minute breath exercise, and then you'll be on the list and you'll hear all the details about the upcoming program. And you'll also be on your way to feeling more calm.
Oh, that's awesome. Very good. Okay. So here's my end of the show, or almost end of the show, question. If you could, in one word, describe your journey as a mother and entrepreneur up to this point, what would it be?
Ooh, that is so challenging. I want to use 2. Maybe I'll start with 1, and then I'll qualify it with my 2nd. The first word is exciting. It has been a wild journey. So we started this, we really fully committed to this. And soon thereafter, I got pregnant with my 2nd child. And so basically the whole time we've been building this business, I was either pregnant or had a newborn. He's now 1. And it has been, of course, very challenging, but the main thing is exciting. The ability to connect with other moms who are going through similar things as me is hugely rewarding, and to know that I can help them find some peace in all of this messiness that is motherhood is so rewarding. And And then all of the, like, business sides of it, too, I love learning about how to make all this stuff work, and I love thinking about the life that my husband and I are creating together and this joint vision we're working toward and how it's going to give us more time to spend with our kids as they get older. So the main feeling really is Zed. We've been doing it at a time that is, like, supremely stressful. And so it's been very challenging as well, because when you're working all the time and you have tiny kids running around, it's all a struggle. My husband likes to call it our glorious struggle. And I think that's, like, the best explanation of it, because that's really what it is. It's so challenging, but all for this wonderful, wonderful payoff that we see down the line.
I think that's the key, is to know that there is a payoff, and that if mm-hmm. if you are ready to be open to it, then everything is possible.
Yes.
So we are almost out of time. We have about 4 minutes. I am so happy you came on the show today. I think this has been like a different type of topic for us, because a lot of it has done about just different things. And this is the first time we've had, you know, about mom specifically and being an entrepreneur. So I'm so glad you came on the show. I think that it benefited everybody. And I encourage everybody to sign up and do the challenge in June to be part of those four pillars, because it will make a huge difference in your life. And thank you again, Catherine, really. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy. It's such a pleasure to be here and spend some time talking with you.
Yes, and we're going to get together soon, too, on a different project. So I'm excited about that. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. Next week, we are having Robbie Ludwick, and she is going to dispel the myths of what it means to be in your midlife, what that means, and how to dispel those myths and enjoy your life in your 50s and beyond. So I'm really excited to have her on. The name of the book that she will be talking about is Your Best Age Is Now, so don't wait for another minute. Okay, it has come to almost the end of our show. I'm excited, as always, that you were here with us this week. I look forward to future shows, and hint, hint, look forward in the next couple of months. We are going to be bringing this show to a video platform. So I'm hoping by June to have that rolled out, so I will announce everybody, but everybody will be able to see everybody come hopefully the June 1st show, the first show in June. Right now, we're going to hear the BRB Yoga commercial and then our outro, and we will talk to you again next week.
Hey there, Mama. How often do you get to the end of the day and realize you've spent your whole day caring for others without taking a single moment for yourself? BRB Yoga is here to help. BRB Yoga is an online yoga studio created so busy moms can recharge fast and get back to the things that matter most. Each of the 20 and 30 minute videos provides a well-rounded yoga class with a little extra emphasis on opening shoulders and hips and safely strengthening the core. Designed to address the physical needs of moms, these classes leave you feeling recharged and renewed. For a free 2-week trial, visit brbyoga.com today. You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganiello. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.